91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Think back to the last spur-of-the-moment purchase you made. Can you remember why you bought it? There's a good chance your choice was influenced by one of the gazillion subtle messages we encounter every day. Good afternoon, it's Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. If you have a product to market, today's social media influencers can gain immediate target audiences. There are search engine optimizers, or SEOs, who have the knack to push droves of people to advertisers. Show a Selfie and Amazon Echo now shows the fashion dweeb what to buy to better their look. There are now digital advertising agencies. We'll get an update on these pervasive persuasions from FIU advertising professor and author Margot Berman. That's up next, right after the news. It's today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Tuesday edition. Well, this afternoon we revisit with FIU Professor of Advertising and Communications, Margot Berman. Aside from being a prolific author, some 14 books to date and counting, she's had a wide-ranging career in the advertising and communications world.
Professor Berman is an experienced consultant and educator as well. She founded her own ad agency and is known as an accomplished copywriter, award-winning, actually. She's also versed in the delicate psychology between efforts to sway consumer appetites and actions.
And we'll have a wide range of topics this hour, and you can participate. But we'll start with the term pervasive persuasion. It's hard to fathom just how refined and sophisticated today's marketers have become.
Welcome, Margot.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. I want to know if there's anything like free will anymore when it comes to our purchases, or are we always being manipulated?
You're always being manipulated. Doesn't mean you're going to listen to it.
Right.
But you're always manipulated. You can't avoid it. It's impossible to avoid messages that are trying to reach you and break through.
I mean, even if, let's say, you don't listen to radio, you don't watch TV, I guess everybody goes online, but let's say there were somebody
right, okay.
who didn't. Are they still being influenced?
If they're outside their homes, physically available and walking the streets anywhere in the world or driving a car, billboards, how about all the logos on materials of clothing that you wear,
right.
Sunglasses? Every place you go, how about stores? You just go into a store, it's just the store's name, the logo of the store, everything. You have a soda, there's a name on it, there's a product label on it.
You go into a supermarket, the way everything's positioned is...
Everything is positioned, and it's called real estate. And those products that pay the most are at eye level and most easily accessible for you to make that purchasing decision. It's not an accident. If you find Coke and Pepsi on a certain shelf, and the non-brands and non-known brands, lower.
At the bottom.
We tend not to buy things down by our feet.
It's harder to reach. And they're out of eye view, out of vision, out of sight, out of mind. You don't think of it.
But also even the logos on the products we don't buy, we still see them and are influenced by them. Some of the things you sent along, like the FedEx, I never was aware that there was an arrow inside that logo.
Where is I didn't bring it in with me. Where is the arrow?
The arrow.
Pointing to the E.
Yes, it's between the last two letters, the E and the X. If you look at it, look at the white space.
Okay, right.
And
a
it's
boutique.
It's between the E and the X. It creates an actual arrow. I don't see if I have it.
I forgot to bring it in.
Well, I think we had it in my hand, but I don't know what happened to it.
It's somewhere under the paper.
It went somewhere.
There it is. It's right there.
It's right here. I have it.
Okay.
See, it's between the E and the X.
Oh.
Look at the white space.
It's such an arrow.
And once you know about it, it jumps right in.
You can't not see it. It's like once you see it, you can't not see it. And it is, precision, proficiency, moving things forward. It's a very positive message.
So is that subliminal stuff? Remember, it was that hoax back in the 50s?
Oh, yeah.
But you're saying it still is operative and it works.
Of course it works. You're not aware of it. Anything that you're not aware of flies in under your radar, and it's very easy to reach you when you're not realizing you're being reached.
Let's ask our listeners to join in this conversation. Do you know why you made your last purchase? Do you think you're under the influence of persuaders, or do you think you're beyond their reach? You can call us 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. You can also email radio@WLRN.org.
What about efforts to influence us that fail? Many of them fail, obviously.
Oh, yeah, those are some of my favorite things. Usually it has to do with a cultural mistake. Sometimes it isn't a cultural mistake. It's just an honest error that you cannot even, a blunder. When Coke decided to do the new Coke several years ago, well, what about your audience that loves Coke? You've lost your loyal audience. You're challenging your audience, and they don't want something new. They don't want a new formula. And you could say whatever you want. It was a marketing ploy. No, it was an actual mistake, an honest error that you can't even retract that error.
So what did they do?
They brought regular Coke back.
And they got rid of the new Coke?
Well, they eased it out.
Oh,
then
okay.
It finally went, you know, they have new products. Like, for example, guys won't buy anything with diet in it. They won't carry a can of diet anything. So they have Coke Zero. That they'll take.
Even though it's diet.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't say diet.
So one of your clients was American Express, or is?
Yeah, it was, yes.
It was, okay. So what campaigns did you do for American Express?
We did a lot of national campaigns. One was, this was for American Express. One was Noche de Compras. It was in Puerto Rico. And at that time, if you had an American Express card, it was a big privilege. Here, if someone calls to do research, you don't want to talk to anyone, but there is a big deal if somebody from American Express called you. So what they did was they shut a shopping center down one night except for American Express cardholders. You had to have a card to get in. Every vendor in the shopping center had a discount only for American Express cardholders. They couldn't believe thousands upon thousands of people showed up. We did that particular event several times, year after year. It was a tremendous hit, unexpectedly so. They also gave away a free car.
Well,
that ties into their slogan, membership
has its privileges.
Brilliant connection. Exactly.
In fact, we had a professor on who's a professional mediator, and you remember that doctor that was on, and he had one of his class members had an issue with American Express and was able to get through to their corporate headquarters because he was tired that he couldn't get the same discounts that new members would get for just starting with the card. And he said, I'm supposed to be, membership has its privileges. I'm having something held against me because I am a member. I can't get the same interest percentage or whatever.
That's a very common problem. And in order to attract a new audience, they actually can offend the existing audience.
Right, right.
And sometimes it has to do with
fashion.
You
feel like an idiot. Okay, I'm paying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been here a long time. What about me? Exactly.
So what has changed? I mean, there's been this, I can't think of the word I want to use. Seismic shift.
Oh yes,
let's say
seismic, definitely.
And what? So, what has happened? Is it all social media? Is it all on the online, the internet?
It's consumer driven.
It's
consumer driven. It used to be, here's a message. We put it out there. You listen to it. It was one way. It was a monologue. Now it's a dialogue. So the message is put out, and the brand wants you to interact with it. They want engagement, and they are following everything on social media. If one thing comes out, you're at the airport, you're sitting, your plane is delayed, or you start tweeting, you'll get a personal phone call from the airline to help you, to work with you. They will ignore a phone call from you, but a tweet, they don't know how big your audience is. You could have a million people following you. You're a threat. You are an actual threat.
So you mean if you're sitting in the airport complaining,
yes,
tweeting,
yes,
that, you know.
Yes.
They will actually,
yes,
come and find you, call you, whatever?
Yes, and work out the problem. Absolutely. They're watching social media. They have people, the whole team of people. That's all they do.
So what you're saying
monitor.
Is consumers
have more.
So we
need a new MO.
Consumers have more power.
They have all the power.
Than they've ever had.
Yes, they're driving even products. They're driving everything. The message, the way you speak to me, you'll speak to me the way I want you to speak to me, when I want you to speak to me. They tune everything out they're not interested in.
I was thinking about this. Let's take fake news for a moment.
Okay.
Well, wait. Because actually, we're being asked to buy something, mm-hmm, that's not even real. It's either a belief or an idea or something. And yes. In this false information might or might not cause us to take an action, which might have something to do with our purchasing.
Well, several years ago, there was a tremendously embarrassing experience with Walmart. They had hired people to go and travel with their vehicle from Walmart to Walmart as they're going across the country, and they would talk about, do social media posts in the driveway, parking lot of Walmart about how great the product was. I had this problem. It really helped me. I was so happy they had it, blah, blah, blah. And a new word was birthed because it was a PR agency, I'd rather not say, very famous PR agency behind it. And it was, instead of it being a blog, which was a blog post, the word became flog, a fake blog. And the word exists. So it was the first one that I'm aware of where it was truly fake. It was a blog. And once it was revealed that there were real people, that they were not real people, but hired people to do this, if they were real people, it would be different. It's honest.
Sure,
it's authentic.
Sure.
The big thing is authenticity. When the brand loses its authenticity, that's when there's a big issue. It's very hard to come back from
that. So how did they come back? Because they came back.
Sometimes they can't. They did, but sometimes you can't.
It's similar to paying an influencer on Twitter to say how great the hotel was if they're a big celebrity or something. They're being paid.
Right.
They might not have even been to the hotel.
Or that convention, or what was it, for Miami?
No, it was the State of Florida Tourism Department.
Right, and I forgot who.
Was paying a rap guy that's very popular, Pitbull. It was a big controversy. Paying him $1 million to include the State of Florida in his onstage chatter and also in his Twitter account.
Yeah. Well, another big issue now is the Google ads where there are fake visitors. There are no real visits. Those are invalid websites that you're being sent to make a purchase, and that just exploded. So, you know, talking about fake news, these are fake, not real people who are not making purchases and looking like they're voting for things, making reviews about things, making a purchase, suggesting things. Even the reviewers, it's very important that the reviewers are authentic.
Well, like on Amazon.
They are authentic. They're vetted.
Yes. They are vetted.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't always that way, right?
Well, you had to have made that purchase of that product. Then you bought it, and that they know that you made that purchase of that product.
It'll differentiate between those who received the product free and those who bought it.
Well, and also, or somebody who's on the team and buys the, you know, part
not
of...
Not always. Sometimes there are people who can review things and they didn't purchase it there. So it goes back and forth on that one because some of them are real purchases and some of them are recommendations by other people who told them it was good. So I got to think about that. There was one more that was a problem, though. I'm trying to think who that was.
How effective are those anti-smoking ads that were the victims of, with all these diseases and afflictions, come on and tell you?
Very effective.
They are.
Yeah. In fact, the Truth campaign that came out years ago was targeting teens, and it was very, very effective because those are the ones with the body bags. What does 1,000 people look like a day that die from cancer, you know, who are dying from cancer? And they piled up body bags, actual body bags. I mean, there weren't bodies in them, but body bags to show the magnitude of the impact. And it really turned off because it wasn't a lecture. It wasn't, well, if you do this, this is bad for you. It was actual visual proof of what 1,000 people who died look like.
We're speaking with Margot Berman. She's professor of advertising in the School of Communication and Journalism at FIU, Florida International University, and a prolific writer and author and inventor. And we're going to take a short break. Again, our number, you can tell us how influenced you are or aren't when you make your purchases, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or email radio@wlrn.org.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Margot Berman, FIU Professor of Advertising and Communications, and a very prolific author. We always have a lot of fun with her when she comes on. Our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. We hope to take a lot of phone calls today. Also, even quicker, radio@WLRN.org. If you'd like to email, radio@WLRN.org. And please be brief on your emails. Margo, tell about...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask her about the Echo Look. And the selfie, you send a selfie, and it makes fashion suggestions
that is so
for
cool.
you.
Right. So you can say, you know, Alexa, do this, Alexa, do that. Now it's, you know, Echo is doing this new technology where you take a picture of yourself and then you go online with your image and you virtually try clothes on, and the robot actually grades your clothing choices. And they found it's very accurate.
Now, like, but wait a minute. I mean, you might have a different style than the robot wants you to have.
Well, you're selecting your clothes. You are selecting it.
Certain body types, certain coloring,
yeah,
certain hairstyles.
You pick it out.
Like,
and
that.
Then the robot will tell you this might have been a better choice than that might. But you pick it out. And, you know, it's amazing how many things people wear that are not flattering. I mean, you're laughing because you know it's true. You wonder, do they have a mirror and can they see?
And you're looking directly at me right now.
I mean, you know, do they actually, or is it, you know, is it a fantasy of what you're looking at is not really what's there? You know, mirror, mirror on the wall. So this really
will
help you.
Well, but if somebody, well, maybe it's not helping you because a person who is not perhaps seeing themselves realistically perhaps is a lot happier than if they did at the time.
Yes.
If what you're saying, if what you're referring to is what I think you're referring to.
It's a suggestion.
You might find out you're colorblind.
Well,
you know, it's like when you go to the stores and now they have, these are images that are on the window stickers. They're called window stickers. And they have different clothing on the windows. You can walk up and actually wear something without trying it on. So stores have this. You can walk up and see how that looks on you without even getting undressed. The only difference between this is it's virtual.
But you're determining how it looks on you,
yes.
Not Echo.
Well, that's what makes it interesting. Now you have another opinion, unbiased, not a friend who's afraid to tell you the truth. This is...
Oh, my.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's
and they found
funny.
That it really is pretty accurate.
I want to ask you about this. Your website is mentalpeanutbutter.com.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's ideas that stick to the roof of your brain.
Oh.
So it,
I think you need to explain that a little farther.
It's just like when you eat peanut butter, it gets stuck to the roof of your mouth. This gets stuck to the roof of your brain. These are sticky ideas, like some of the most famous slogans, like the most famous one and the most recognizable one of the last 100 years, according to Ad Age, is, no, it's not just do it. That's the second one for Nike.
Okay, let me think.
Have it your way.
You would think.
Where's the beef?
That's up there. Top 10.
It is?
It is up there in the top 10. This is unexpected.
This is unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what kind of company it is.
Jewelry.
Oh.
See?
Say it with
flowers? No, that'd be flowers.
Okay.
Tell me when you're ready.
It must be Tiffany or something.
De Beers.
De Beers.
And you know what it is? A diamond is forever.
Diamond.
You'll never forget that. It's a
but
reason why. Well, you didn't recognize, you didn't remember it, but as soon as I said it, you knew it.
Yes.
So it left an imprint in your mind. If I said a diamond is, you would have finished forever. And the reason is that it's very, very accurate. It's a reason why to buy it. You give it down to your family. It's an heirloom. It's stronger than...
And it's indestructible.
Well, you can destroy it. Everything has a weak spot. You can hit a diamond in a wrong angle and crack it, by the way. However, you can take the same diamond and cut through glass if you're in a fire, and you'll get out. Just amazing, right?
I didn't know you could smash a diamond if you
Yeah, you can if you hit it the wrong angle. Anything is breakable, including us. Hit us at the wrong angle. There we are.
Well, we don't even take on the wrong angle. Again, our number is 1-800-743-9576. We're talking about advertising, persuasion, influencers, and what influences you to buy your purchases.
Amin in Homestead. Amin, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hello. I'm Amin. I'm from Homestead, Florida, and I attend FIU. And I just wanted to say that, you know, even on campus when you're there, you, as a student on campus, there's a lot of brands, like, on campus trying to get our attention. So, like, there'll be Best Buy, or there'll be, like, Nike. They'll, like, even yesterday at FIU, Lyft was there trying to promote their ride-sharing service. So... I just wanted to know, like, what was your thought on how susceptible young people are to those sort of advertisements?
Young people are more impressionable.
I think the biggest question always is as follows. Is it relevant? If it's relevant to your lifestyle and something you actually want or need solves a problem, and it's an authentic message that you believe, that you know that it's coming from a place of truth, you'll remember it. And it will resonate with you because of that. Relevance is the key. In fact, I'll ask you this. If Uber had a breathalyzer right outside a pub, a club, a bar, and you saw it, and it said, free Uber ride if you don't pass the breathalyzer. Would you take the breathalyzer test? They give you clean straws. You just take the straw and place it.
Yeah.
Well, they have that, they actually have that promotion. And they actually,
really?
Yes, they do. They offer a free ride if you're inebriated. So now there's something.
So let's go back and have a few more so we can get a free ride home.
Well, there you are. However, it's something that talks about social consciousness, and it was a campaign that was running, and it was a brilliant idea because of its authenticity, and it did solve a problem, and it spoke to you because it was a relevant question, and everybody took the test. Interactivity. It engaged you.
Okay,
thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Amin.
Thank you.
Laura writes, and I'm not sure if you know what an SEO is. Please ask if you did, search engine optimization 3 years ago on your website and you changed the host but not the domain. Would the search engine optimization still be in place?
If I changed the host, the server changed the host, okay.
But not the domain.
But not the domain, would it still be in place? That's a really good question.
It's a good question. What does it mean?
What it means is if you have a company hosting, like GoDaddy, hosting your website, and you change the host, you go somewhere else to be hosting.
I see.
Will you
like Bluehost?
Bluehost. Would you lose your? You're saying would you lose your traffic? Is really what your question is.
Hmm.
Would you lose your traffic? No, you've built that traffic up, so your traffic really is your traffic. Now you might have a company who might have done more to promote you, but the traffic you've gained is there.
When we had our college student on, that reminded me that people think about, say, Arbitron radio ratings. And if your demographic for your station is people over 40 up to 65 or more, you're much less attractive to advertisers than if you have like 25 mm-hmm. to 34 listeners, because those listeners tend to be more impressionable. If you're in your 50s or 60s, you're pretty much set in your ways. You're going to buy the same beer, the same toothpaste. And you're probably not going to be open to new products.
You would think that's true. However, today, 50 is the new 30. And
it's
and
changed.
You're going to be living longer every year than you in the past. They're expecting people to be living way past 100.
Like that doesn't mean your ideas get younger.
Well, what it means is if you're living longer, you are going to have to be buying more items. You're going to be, and you'll feel younger because your whole aging process, if you're going to live longer, your aging process has to be addressed. So something's going to be happening medically and it is happening now with antioxidants and awareness of how to take care of your body. All that's happening. And people are much more aware of what they're eating, how they're exercising, all of that. It isn't just a hype. They really are worried about that.
But it's not going to make me more susceptible, saying, to drink like Zima clear beer.
Maybe Joe, but.
The question is, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. And this is a true story. Okay, so Super Bowl. And Budweiser, you know, they go together. Well, they usually partner with some other brand. So they decided to go with a company not as well known. Usually people do buy nuts and beer, Emerald Nuts. And Emerald Nuts goes, we're in, because they didn't have the same as Planters, the same name recognition. So this is huge. Whatever you wanted them to do. Now, they didn't have the budget that Budweiser has. Of course, Budweiser did all the on-air promotion. But they did signage, and they did other things that they could afford to do. And guess what? People who hadn't tried Emerald Nuts tried it. And it was a huge, huge increase in their sales. Because people said, two for one, you got this, and you get the beer, and it was a deal, a package. Everybody buys stuff for Super Bowl. It was targeted to a general audience. And who doesn't drink beer?
Did that help Budweiser, though?
Well, Budweiser is usually number one in the Super Bowl commercials to start with, so they didn't really need as much help.
But the point is that people did buy Emerald Nuts
after that.
And
yes,
probably
they did.
You would have, too.
And they kept it. They kept buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to another call. We've got Frank in Weston. Frank, you're up.
Thanks for taking my call. I've taken some sales training courses through the years, and one thing that we learned is that the buyer at any particular point of the interview or the sales process, buying process, gives what was called buying signals, which is he's doing something to let the other person, the seller, know that he's getting convinced or he's making good progress but the person, the buyer, doesn't even know he's giving his buying signals. And at the end, you get convinced to buy something from a buying signal that the person that gave it doesn't know that's giving it. So it's going back to your original question, we do not have total control when we're buying things.
Well, the interesting thing is there are neuro-linguistic programming or conditioning or signals that you send out, the way you speak, the way you move, and people who make sales are looking to pattern you. In other words, they pattern whatever you do. You speak quickly, they speak quickly. You lean in, they lean in. It's not obvious. So sometimes your signals are being read by someone else who's very good at this, and they're very good at profiling your attitude by reflecting you. So whatever position you're in physically, they will mirror that. And that often creates a dance where suddenly you're feeling very comfortable with this person. You don't really know why. And the other thing they may be doing that you're not aware of is answering your objectives, your objections. You have objections when you buy something. I don't want to learn it. It's too complicated. Your objections are being met by the comments that they're saying. And also the language that you use. The language you use, your auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. You approach life one or two of those three ways. For example, the person buying a car kicks the tires. He's kinesthetic. Wants to drive the car. He's kinesthetic. The person that says, oh, let me look at that, you know, the layouts. I want to see the schema. I want to see how this car is made. Let me look at the colors it's in. They're a visual person. The other person that says, I got to hear the engine. Turn the engine on. They are a person who's auditory. So the language you're using, see, hear, touch, those words are signaling the salesperson as well.
Well, that gives salespeople an awful lot of credit, right? I mean, they have to know a lot about psychology.
Well, some people do. Some people just read people really well. They read nonverbal communication really well naturally.
They may not have even been taught to do so.
Making them very good salespeople.
Sure. That's probably why the original great salespeople were great salespeople.
Right.
They just did intuitively.
We're speaking with Margot Berman. She teaches advertising at FIU. She's a prolific writer, author, and inventor. She's the recipient of numerous regional, national, international awards and American Express Banana Boat and Alamo Rent-A-Car number among her clients. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Our number, 1-800-743-9576.
We're back. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Professor Margot Berman of FIU. She teaches advertising and communications. Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576. And also email, please keep them brief, radio@wlrn.org. Next up, we have Jack in Pompano Beach. Jack, you're on. Hi.
Good afternoon. I have spent most of my professional career in advertising and marketing, and I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts that people in my profession know very well, but the average consumer probably doesn't think about. One is that if you don't get or like an ad or a commercial, it's probably not targeted to you.
Exactly.
You're probably not in the target audience. And another is that you may think that you're not being influenced by an ad or a commercial, but you are. Everybody is. Otherwise, successful companies and successful and smart people wouldn't be using them and spending the money that they spend. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. And one last thing, and that is, as far as the young people are concerned, the whole idea is to get consumers before they fall into buying habits. You want to be the habit that they form first, and that gives you a leg up and hopefully a lifetime of loyalty.
Exactly. Okay, Jack. Well, it goes back to my first question, which was that I asked Margot if we have any free will when it comes to making our purchases.
You know, a good example of that is
like a philosophical
commercials that will annoy you. I think of the Progressive Insurance Company with that woman who's so
garish
and unattractive.
They love her.
And yet, obviously, she's tremendously successful.
Because she's quirky.
What about that commercial?
And memorable.
The sun will come up tomorrow. I have no idea what it's for.
That's another problem. That's a key problem. You remember the commercial, but not
that
the brand.
That I don't like.
Big problem.
You get that on football Sundays a lot. I'll see very arty
and you don't remember who
they're tightly edited. And I don't even know what that
so
is.
So I guess that means it's not a good ad.
No, it's not working.
It's not for you.
It's not for you. And if you don't remember,
so maybe it's
the
what
brand,
Jack said. It wasn't targeted.
It
for
wasn't
me.
Targeted to you, but you still got something from it. And maybe subconsciously you still remember the brand, but consciously it's not top of mind.
I don't even know what it was for, no less
yes,
the brand.
That can be a big problem, huge, especially
right.
for the brand.
Yeah, I would think.
You have email or?
No.
Okay.
It's radio@wlrn.org, by the way, if you want to weigh in on the subject of advertising and persuasion and
influence
in what you purchase. 800-743-9576.
And our next listener is Linda in Miami. Linda, hi, go ahead.
Hi. I guess I have a question for you guys. And thank you for having me on your show. I wanted to ask, why is it that in Europe there seem to be laws that say you cannot advertise certain things to minors, whereas in this country, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere. You know, the kids don't get a chance. I love, no product placement here, but I love TiVo, so I can get some commercials. Why doesn't this country do something else, you know, about that and the ultra consumerism that we're, I'm not anti-advertising.
Linda, we have a very muffled connection.
Yeah, it's very hard to hear
you.
Did you understand,
Linda? Yeah, the question really was why the United States isn't as sensitive to children being exposed to messaging, where it seems
right.
that they're more careful overseas and other countries to guard them and shield them from being influenced. Well, there are rules and there are regulations, and there are, in fact, Camel cigarettes was severely addressed years ago when they came out,
yeah.
and they had the cartoons that looked like the camel. He was so much fun, and they had to change that. And even though you may not think it's happening, there are regulatory boards who are watching this and toning down, changing, or not allowing those messages to air. So maybe some of the things you're seeing have already been addressed and have been tuned down, or maybe you don't even see the ones that didn't get. They were
right.
blocked. But there is work on that on behalf of the children to protect them, more than you would realize.
Something we talked about earlier before we take another call, is you say you really have more power now with social media than calling to complain.
Absolutely.
Give you an example. I got food poisoning, and I'm positive it came from a Subway restaurant. And I called their corporate headquarters. I wanted to get the chief operating officer, whoever in charge of that. Of course, it's a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just kind of sloughed me off and said, here's the 800 number for complaints. And I was like, I'd like you to tell me what the protocol is mm-hmm. for changing out their food and that. And then they had the franchisee called me, and the franchisee pretty much said, oh, we don't. It didn't happen here, but I know it did. What I should have done is said, you know, I'm going to go on Twitter, or I'm going to go on my Facebook, and I'm going to make this.
Maybe not tell them what you're going to do. Just mm-hmm. go on and Facebook
And get on Facebook and have people like it, and boom, they'd probably be at my door.
Well, the two key words today are, let me remind you there's social media. And you don't have
right.
to say where you're going or what you're doing. Just let me remind you. And
well, they just kind of blew it off.
Well, you didn't say the sentence, the key sentence.
There's the key sentence. Let me remind you.
There's yeah. social media. If you're not going
to
resolve
this. I'm wasting
this.
My breath talking to the executive.
Well, normally, usually you might be, unless you write a letter. Letters tend not to be as easily ignored.
Right.
Because you took the time to write a letter.
This is Matthew. He says he so dislikes the Liberty Mutual commercials, particularly the one with the car named Brad, that he refuses to get a quote from him. Is that the one where the car's has all those accidents?
She loved her car, Brad. She loved this car. And then it got into wreck. And then
young people in a little soliloquy, yeah.
And that, yes, and now she got all, you know, the money for the car, and now it's like, oh, she's over Brad. Well, you know, personifying the brand and saying, you know, Brad is a human being kind of makes it interesting, and it humanizes it.
They are annoying. It's in front of the Statue of Liberty as the background.
By the way, a lot of people do name their cars, and the Subaru owners love their cars, and so do the Mini Cooper drivers. Very loyal audience. Very loyal. So they could relate to that because they name their cars. They treasure their cars. And actually, when you buy a pre-owned, not a used, of course,
not,
Mini
of
Cooper,
course not.
It gets adopted rather than sold is how people actually feel about it. And that makes it very interesting. So it offended you, it annoyed you, but there are other people where they were really connected to it just by the name, use of the car being named.
And we don't know who they were targeting.
No.
Or maybe they weren't targeting Brad.
Well,
I'm not Brad.
The person who names their car.
Matthew.
Yeah, the question being, here they're saying, even if you love your car, we're going to do right by you and you can get another car. As
seems
opposed
like they're
to,
targeting 20s and 30-somethings in those spots.
I wouldn't limit that.
You're insistent.
We're at odds with her today.
Because
I know a lot of people who name their cars and they're not in their 20s.
I didn't say that. I said the Liberty insurance spots, I think, are aimed at people in their early 30s.
Well, look at this. Look 20s. At the mom. I believe it was Liberty Mutual, whose son got caught on the road. There was some kind of a problem with his car. And they came out, I think that was an accident, they came out and met with them, and was that Liberty Mutual? They came out and made it much easier, and they solved the problem on the spot.
I think that was State Farm.
No, I don't know. It was a Liberty, maybe, I don't know. I can't remember, now there's a mistake. I can't exactly remember
the
brand. No, I can't at the moment. And the question being, I believe it was Liberty Mutual, and they stood by them and came out and helped them, and they made it very accessible to solve the problem on the spot. And the son was calling the dad on what's a lug nut. Do you remember what that was? What's a lug nut? Was that Liberty Mutual? I think it was.
But some of the biggest advertisers are these insurance
companies. If anybody
remembers,
give us a call.
I always kind of had the view that they spend so much money on advertising.
They do.
Why don't they just lower their premiums a little bit?
Okay, look at this mayhem. That whole campaign about mayhem and humanizing that, where people run into all kinds of headaches, Allstate, fabulous. Brilliant.
What about Geico? I mean, we're not talking about the most obvious one.
Absolutely.
And their rates
and the
are
icons.
Lower. And their rates are lower than most.
Look at the icons. The caveman, the pig.
The caveman, the pig.
And the gecko.
And the gecko,
But
of
you
course.
Think, isn't it unusual to have more than one icon? You didn't even think about that. That they have three separate mascots.
And there
separate
are so
icons
many people that,
have
tried to copy them that just have not been successful.
You connect to that little gecko. I mean, whatever he does, he's got a personality. And you see, you're laughing. And you know it's Geico. Yeah. You know it's Gecko. And you know who it is. There's something personable. Like Tony the Tiger, there's a personality behind that brand icon that you're connecting to.
And even more so, the Aflac.
Oh, the Aflac duck is a whole other story. Let me know if you want to know how that
Gilbert,
came to be.
The comedian that was fired because he made some anti-Semitic remarks. I think he was the voice of that, Gilbert.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
Gilbert Gottfried,
we have
the comedian, was the original voice.
Brian, stay right there, and
let's go ahead and take Brian.
Okay. Well, you are argumentative today, Joe.
I had already punched him up.
Okay,
Brian, Deerfield Beach. Hi.
I'm doing well today. Thanks for your show. It gives me an opportunity to give an opinion that I've been having for Madison Avenue, and I suppose that's what you're talking about—the advertising agencies that go around. And in a nutshell, it has to do with race. Now, I don't want to bring this conversation down or anything like that, but I have noticed that a lot of commercials feature white males in a very bad way as far as being stupid or clumsy or this or that. I can give a couple examples. And I've also noticed that there's very few black women in commercials. It's always a black man and a white woman or Asian or this or that, and kind of like what we see on the news. Do you see that or any of your callers?
Well, in answer to that question, I think we see how we see the world. So you're seeing your own perception of what you're seeing, not that it isn't something to look at. In fact, your comment about males being perceived as stupid was actually addressed. And there were
in the old sitcom days, especially, it was the
commercials in particular.
Idiot father.
The father in particular, that the father is not capable of handling children, and that was a big shift to recognize they are capable.
Yeah, I'm thinking about many of the progressive commercials where Flo is there with some white guy who's just an absolute nut. And then there's one that is about this guy getting a band back together that's running now, where he knocks on a black man's door and says, "We're getting the band back together," and acts like a complete idiot when the black man is just standing there saying, "I don't think it's going to happen," stuff like that. I just wanted to let people know that
be aware of what they're being said by Madison Avenue. And I do thank you for your forum.
You want to make the point that all white men are
not idiots.
We know that, Brian. I think we know that.
Definitely.
We do have our share.
Yes. Well, we're speaking with Margot Berman. She's an advertising professor at Florida International University and the recipient of numerous regional, national, and international awards for her copywriting. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
We return with today's topical currents, 49 minutes past 1 o'clock. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Margot Berman. She's an FIU professor of advertising and communications. If you'd like to join in by phone, we have a few lines open, 1-800-743-9576.
Our email is radio@wlrn.org. We have Peter in Dania. I'm curious about Instagram advertising and at what point an influencer becomes so popular that all their tags and posts are essentially all paid ads. As an avid fisherman, I've unfollowed popular captains who I feel are inauthentic in as much as every post is a tag of several different brands and I doubt their honesty. Where does the sweet spot lie where authenticity is maintained but the advertising audience is reached?
It's an excellent question. Yeah. Really good question.
Great.
In answer to your question about Instagram, which is really an amazing amalgam of product and professional, actually professional growth, you'd say, well, how does that work? Well, think of Dr. Miami, who suddenly became this main doctor, plastic surgeon down here, and his patients allow themselves to be photographed, full face and everything, naked, mostly undressed, showing before and after pictures. You go, who would do that? He's very popular, and he's popular because he actually shows part of the procedure. People want to know what's going to happen. The authenticity is that he's a real guy, a little quirky. He is capable because of the results, and he doesn't mind showcasing his skill set. His daughter got him into this. She was a teenager. She said, you should go on Instagram, take some shots of the actual surgeries, and let people see what happens under the knife. And people are flocking. He has a waiting list.
Do the patients get discounts if they...
I don't even know how that works, but they love going to him. And I heard him speak at a conference, and I was very impressed.
Would you want that?
People today are different. Everybody has a selfie. Nobody minds having all their lives online. They don't care about privacy. You wouldn't believe some of the things people discuss.
And I'm talking even older people.
Yes. I mean, they don't mind.
No.
They don't object. So his target audience is authentically being reached because he's got people who are exhibitionists. Okay, you have to be to have your face. And it isn't like just your body part, it's you. And you don't mind that. You're an extrovert. You don't care. It works for you. You're not embarrassed. But you want people to see how great you look. And they do look great. So there's a whole question. His real name is Michael Salzhauer.
Oh, okay.
Because I put that on, I'm like, yeah, you would never, you just say Dr. Miami and Google him, it comes right up.
Yeah.
But there's other people on Instagram doing the same thing. There's a lady, Shirley Braha, who dressed up her dog. And she has all kinds of costumes. People just love following her.
So what about Peter's question, though, about the balance between, you know, wanting to advertise but being authentic? You have said that being authentic is
critical.
Essential.
You're sensing it. See, Peter, you're sensing it. And you're sensing it says it's not authentic to you. And that's all that needs to be said. You don't need to justify how you feel. You feel that way, and you feel like they sold out. And that's a critical point for any audience and any follower. And you're entitled to feel that way.
Well, I'm looking to sell out any way I can.
By the way, Matthew wrote in, that was a Liberty Mutual commercial.
I thought that was.
But once again, geared to younger people.
Thank you, Matthew.
He says, I'm much older and found them annoying. Okay.
Oh. Well, right. My point being that they're talking to the parent of the child who needed the help. And that's why I was saying it wasn't a
with
teen.
Brad. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Fort Lauderdale. Your turn, Bob. Hi.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank Joe and Bonnie for many years of a great show and all the opportunities I've had to ask questions here.
Oh, thanks, Bob. You're welcome.
Yeah. And about today, Exxon changed its name from Esso to Exxon because they were looking for what we used to be called garbage words, words that don't mean anything in any language. And it was done because of what happened with the Chevy Nova when they tried to sell it in South America. If you split Nova in half, it reads Nova, which in Spanish means it doesn't go, which is bad for a car.
Exactly.
So if your guest could speak about the importance of garbage words and how they generate these very unique names.
Haagen-Dazs is one. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, you know, look at the pharmaceutical industry. They have people looking to create words that mean nothing. And that's an art form in itself, and it's branding. And it's not easy to find a name that works. Sometimes it's just the first part of somebody's name and the end of somebody else's.
I'm always amused when I see the vehicle, the Armada. The Armada is plural. It's a group of ships.
Doesn't make any sense, right? I know.
Speaking of cars, Judy writes, I drive a Volvo. I love it. I'm a baby boomer, always open to new ideas. But when a certain Volvo commercial comes on, I have to change channel or mute the sound because I can't stand the voiceover. A woman with a too precise and arrogant voice. Why did they cast her as the voiceover?
Well, that's, you know, casting is very, very important. I did a lot of that. And finding the voice for the brand, perhaps you're not the specific target audience. And key is finding a female voice that's distinctive, which is why Flo is so popular. To find a voice that's distinctive, especially on radio, that you know whose voice that is critically important. It's not that easy to find, especially a female voice. If you think of all the female actors, celebrities, think of anybody that you right now can name who has an immediately distinguishable voice. Name
Meryl
anybody.
Streep.
Meryl Streep immediately, correct. Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Meg Ryan has a certain sound to her voice.
I don't know
voice.
If I'd recognize her voice.
If you heard it by itself?
I don't know.
See? But finding those voices, so finding that voice that it irritated you, sometimes cutting through and it being an irritant, at least you heard it and you remembered whose it was. You remembered Volvo.
Yes.
And we'll move along to a Max in Deerfield Beach.
Hello?
Hi, Max.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, how effective are the really obnoxious attorney ads?
What a great use of an adjective. Why don't you tell us what you really mean? Well, they can be irritating. And, you know, the question really is if you're the person who was in the accident or the person who is injured, you want the bulldog. You want the person who's going to fight for you. And maybe the more annoying they are, the more you believe they're going to really take up on your behalf. So if they sound irritating and they sound tough, you don't want a pussycat. You know, you want to go in and get the tiger on, you know, in the tank. And so there's something to be said about picking a personality when it comes to a lawyer, depending on what the case is about.
Well, it's been fun again.
Can't be over.
Believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
Well, I don't know how long.
What about the dollar bill?
Yeah, what about the dollar?
Oh, okay, the dollar. If you take out a dollar bill, I just read this and I had noticed it before, but there are certain icons, images that are supposedly hidden in the dollar bill. So take out a dollar and start looking at it. They're supposed to be with a little, if you get a magnifying glass, above the right one on the right side in a little curved corner near the leaf is a little creature peeking out. Some people think it's an owl for wisdom. You need a magnifying glass to see it. Nobody knows why it's there. It's not on the other side. It's very interesting. Who could say why? If you turn it over, of course, the eye in the pyramid has always caused attention. People think it's God looking at you. Nobody knows quite what that eye is. People think it's Freemasonry because most of the founding fathers. If you look underneath the pyramid, there's numbers there, and the numbers under the pyramid represent 1776. Which is really interesting, you know, the year we were born. If you look at the eagle, there are 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 things being held in the claws, and 13 is not about a lucky number. It's about originally the 13 colonies. And there's also the Maltese cross behind the ones, and there's other icons. But if you hadn't noticed those, people say, well, what are they there for? What do they mean? Do they have a specific meaning? Well, is it subliminal? Is it a message? And the number, the letter in the circle, indicates which bank it was produced in, which federal bank. So the F is Atlanta.
And on that note, then $1.
Goodbye.
Marco Berman is a professor of advertising and FIU, prolific writer and author and recipient of numerous regional, national, international awards, and developer of instantly applicable techniques for advertising, marketing, and business students, as well as industry professionals and entrepreneurs.
Thank you.
MentalPeanutButter.com. Thanks, Margo.
My pleasure.
Today's program was produced by Polly Landis, technical direction from online content producer Jason Zabka. Richard Ives is lead producer and assisted our callers. If you missed some of today's program, it's easy to download free audio archives and listen again at our website, WLRN.org. And tomorrow, we have an hour with recovery and PTSD therapist Judy Crane. We'll learn more about her book, The Trauma Heart, stories of survival, hope, and healing. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now next from NPR News.